B-Pod Studios.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
We're going to start with this story about an American couple who survived a deadly volcanic eruption in New Zealand. They're filing a lawsuit against the tour company and cruise line. The eruption, which I'm sure you read about a little while back, of the White Island volcano in December killed 21 people, mostly tourists. And Matt and Lauren Urey claim that Royal Caribbean and ID Tours New Zealand Limited did not warn them of heightened volcanic activity on the island before the excursion. The couple met on Match.com. They got married 2 years later. And then this past December, they took a honeymoon cruise to Australia and New Zealand. Lauren said, "We started off having the time of our lives, and then it just turned out to be hell. On December 9th, they took an excursion to the White Island volcano, taking pictures near the crater. They were heading back to their boat when the volcano erupted. They heard the guide yell, 'Run!' And in less than a minute, they were engulfed in scalding ash and smoke. They were covered. They took cover behind a rock. And Matt said it was pitch black. You couldn't see anything in front of you. And you could feel your skin burning, getting pelted with rocks. It was terrifying. Matt said he and Lauren couldn't see each other. He said she was holding onto my wrist, but I had no idea other than that she was there. I genuinely thought that this was the end of my life.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the end of Lauren's life. Severely burned and barely breathing, Matt and Lauren found their way to a tour boat, which rushed them to the mainland. They ended up in hospitals 600 miles apart. The hospital, Lauren said, that we originally were at couldn't handle the burn victims. She added that Matt refused treatment until she was treated. That was the kind of person he is. Both were put in medically induced comas and underwent skin grafts and plastic surgeries. And it would be nearly 2 months before they were reunited back in the United States. Asked if she was grateful to be alive, she said, "If you want me to be honest, at times I kind of wished, well, it would have been easier if I wasn't." She said, "I am now, but at the time I couldn't do anything. I couldn't go to the bathroom by myself. I couldn't brush my teeth. I couldn't use my phone. And I just was wondering if I would ever be normal again." Well, now home in Virginia, the Ures are going through painful laser procedures to increase mobility and break down their scars. Lauren had said, "It sucks. It just really sucks. I don't like the person I see when I look in the mirror. I don't like, obviously, my burns, the scars. I don't like my short hair. I don't feel beautiful. And I'm afraid he doesn't think I'm beautiful," which he tells me repeatedly he does. But it's really hard. So
they do look good. I have to say, for all they went through, and the pictures immediately when they started receiving surgery, which are pretty scary, as you'd imagine where they were. But they look pretty good.
Anyhow, it's as you can imagine, that's a scary event to go through. But the other victims and families are also pursuing legal action. So
there's footage right when it erupts. I mean, right there, someone's phone was going, and everyone starts to panic, as you would imagine.
As you could imagine.
That is correct.
As you can imagine.
59 baby crocodiles were recently reported stolen from a reptile park in Australia's Northern Territory. The hatchlings went missing last month from the Crocodilus Park, where they were being held as part of a research project aimed at exploring the impacts of habitat on crocodile growth.
Crocodilio.
According to park owner Professor Graham Webb, the animals are worth several hundred dollars each, and he is 100% sure that they were stolen. He said, "It's happened to us before. At one stage, we know that it was young kids that were putting them in their backpacks and obviously selling them to somebody. I don't know who. And one time we saw a vehicle with five guys parked outside." Professor Webb said he isn't sure exactly why people keep stealing the park's crocodiles, but noted that crocs have become a commercial commodity. You can buy crocodile products, you can buy stuffed crocodiles, you can buy things that are made from crocodiles. So I'm not sure if there's some bandit out there, but my guess is somebody, probably Interstate, has decided that they're going to do something with them.
Well, if he's saying $600 to $700 a piece, there's your impetus.
He said several hundred bucks. Police have investigated the incident. No arrests have been made as of yet. This is messed up, man. The annual monsoon season has begun in India, and heavy thunderstorms have already proven to be extremely deadly in the northern and eastern parts of the country. On Thursday, just Thursday alone, lightning strikes killed 107 people.
Holy crap!
And injured dozens more, with the vast majority of deaths coming in the state of Bihar on the Nepal border. The area's 83 deaths were among the highest recorded in one day. Most of those killed were farm workers out in the fields.
Jesus.
While India's monsoons are necessary in that they replenish water supplies around the country, they are also extremely dangerous. In 2018, the most recent year where data is available, 2,300 people were killed by lightning strikes.
You never think of those kind of numbers. We always hear what a rare occurrence it is.
Yeah. A horrifying ritual during which young babies are lowered into a well has been stopped in its tracks by police. The ritual was held by an official at a dargah, which is a common place of worship for Muslims in the state of Karnataka. And it's in southern India.
Okay.
Police.
Where everyone's getting hit by lightning.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Maybe they're putting them down in this thing.
To protect them.
To protect them from the lightning. But police were only informed of the practice taking place when local media reported on what was going on. A video has emerged showing a six-month-old baby placed on a cradle tied to a rope, which is then gradually lowered into a 20-foot-deep well. When deep inside the well, the dargah official asked the parents to observe their baby in the dangerous conditions as part of the ritual. And it is then gradually pulled up using the rope tied to it, at which point the terrified child starts to cry.
Is it possible they're misinterpreting the phrase baby wellness?
Maybe. The ritual was conducted based on a superstition that it would make the baby strong and shield it from any evil that it may face in the future.
The saying is baby in the well, what the hell?
Yeah. A new local media outlet reported on the shocking ritual taking place, drawing criticism from local residents and police officers sprang into action to ban the ritual from taking place again. A fence has been erected around the well to prevent others from doing it.
That's wild.
And we'll wrap with a good story. A small-scale miner, a man who mines,
right,
not an underage person.
Yeah, I'm tapping out.
In Tanzania has become an overnight millionaire after selling two rough tanzanite stones, the biggest ever find in the country. Saniniu Lazer, I guess I say his name, earned $3.4 million from the country's mining industry for the gemstones, which had a combined weight of about 33 pounds or 15 kilograms.
For tanzanite?
Yeah, Mr. Lazer, a father of more than 30 children,
holy
by the way,
hell,
told the BBC that
buy a lot of rubbers.
He said there'll be a big party tomorrow. Tanzanite is only found in northern Tanzania and is used to make ornaments. It is one of the rarest gemstones on Earth, and one of local geologists estimates its supply may entirely be depleted within the next 20 years. The precious stone appeal lies in its variety of hues, including green, red, purple, and blue. Its value is determined by rarity.
Jeez.
The finer the color or clarity, the higher the price. Mr. Lazer mined the stones last week, but he sold them on Wednesday during a trading event. Until now, the largest tanzanite rock only weighed 3.3 kilograms, so these dwarf those.
Oh, good for him. He needs the money, clearly.
He has four wives and said that he would slaughter one of his cows to celebrate.
I figured he'd slaughter one of his wives.
No. He also plans to invest in his community. He said,
he has four of them.
Yeah.
I want to build a shopping mall and a school. I want to build this school near my home. There are many poor people around here who can't afford to take their children to school, so he wants to do that.
He's going
to
put a second bathroom on his house, too, Preston.
Yeah, he might need one more for the 30 kids,
30
and, four
kids
wives.
And four wives.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand. It's the Bizarre File podcast.
A Bronx man was stabbed on the top of his skull with a cleaver.
Oh, my God.
During a brawl in Harlem on Tuesday, and he walked it off. Roberto Perez seemed unfazed by the blade, Steve. I saw a picture of this guy.
The footage, he's walking around talking to people. He's got it sticking out of his head.
He's just in shock, right?
I guess so. It left him a bloody mess, according to a widely shared Instagram video of the gory aftermath. The clip shows 36-year-old Perez talking calmly with horrified onlookers and strolling toward the fire department ambulance as if he had just wandered off a movie set. He appears not to be aware of his blood-drenched undershirt and the protruding knife. One witness said he looked like he didn't even feel it. The guy was refusing to go inside the ambulance. A security guard who witnessed the attack said, "I'm traumatized from seeing that. It looks like a scene out of a freaking movie." Cops said
freaking
the victim
movie.
Escaped serious harm because the blade didn't penetrate his skull. It just stuck in the skull.
Still, it's propped right up.
Yeah.
Sticking straight up.
Mm-hmm. A Florida woman has filed a lawsuit seeking either a paternity test on her goats or a refund.
What?
And she's not kidding. Chris Hedstrom filed the suit against her neighbor, Heather Daner, last month, seeking DNA for the goats that she purchased.
Mm.
Hedstrom paid Daner $900 for five Nigerian dwarf goats in December. And according to the lawsuit, Hedstrom believed the goats, Bella, Gigi, Rosie, Zelda, and Margot. could be registered with the American Dairy Goat Association, a group that records goat pedigrees. Registered goats have higher values than unregistered goats. Now, Daner, who has been selling goats from a farm for about 10 years, typically provides information to her clients so that they can register their animals themselves. She said the father goat was registered, but the American Dairy Goat Association rejected Hedstrom's application to register the babies because Daner is not an active member. Proving paternity would require about 40 of the father goat's hair follicles for a DNA test, so Hedstrom wrote Daner a letter requesting the DNA in February. Daner offered to refund the money in exchange for the goat. She said Hedstrom called police on her for 3 months straight, and she has trespassed on her farm. The sheriff's deputy visited the property at least 3 times in the spring. Daner says she didn't hear anything else from Hedstrom until the lawsuit was filed. So, damn it, she wants the DNA proved for her goats.
It's like an animal version of Maury Povich.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. You are the nanny.
Yes.
So Yosemite's concessionaire boss. So this is Yosemite National Park.
Okay.
The concessionaire park is out of a job after he was seen in a video driving golf balls at the Half Dome.
I saw this.
Oh, man. Yeah. Michael Grizzar, vice president of operations at Yosemite, is no longer employed. He was seen driving golf balls in Awani Meadow, a protected area, in a video posted to Instagram by his wife. The video has since been removed, but only after at least one Yosemite employee recorded and circulated it.
Thanks, honey.
It shows him teeing off in the direction of the iconic dome, tracking the shot, then turning around and saying, "That hit the rock," to the camera, which it didn't. It's too far away. There's no way he could have hit it. But hitting golf balls into a park meadow is littering. Had he retrieved the balls, he would have trampled on a protected meadow that is being restored. So they let him go.
Annoying. Yes.
Yeah. Yosemite's meadows are vulnerable ecosystems. So they had to fire him. West Palm Beach pizzeria called Pizza Mambo was recently found to have a dead 80-pound iguana in its freezer. Oh. The Florida Sun Sentinel reports that they were allegedly storing the giant lizard after it was given to the owner as a gift to eat later on.
Here, this is for you.
The animal was discovered when state inspectors did a health code check.
It's cheaper than pepperoni.
Though the animal was...
It's like Tiger King.
Could I have a large iguana and mushroom?
Remember that sequence in Tiger King where they were
serving the pizza?
Yeah, from
oh my God.
Past prime meat from Walmart?
Yeah. Yep. Though the animal was housed in a separate mini freezer and not with the restaurant's food storage, the discovery was still counted as a violation of health code.
Jeez.
The lizard was discarded immediately after. The restaurant also had other violations and was forced to temporarily close for a day.
I think I've eaten iguana at some point. It tastes like chicken.
Have you?
Yeah.
Okay. Donovan Jester, who is 28 years old, was recently arrested on a charge that he stole a $900,000 boat.
Wow.
And then ran it into 4 channel marker pilings. Deputies say the theft took place back in March when somebody stole a 46-foot 2019 Juno Leader from Thunder Marina. And during his escape, the thief hit 4 channel marker pilings and then abandoned the boat. So he just left it, and it drifted and ended up in an oyster
bed. I don't want this anymore.
The boat sustained $60,000 worth of damage. Deputies were able to find Jester's fingerprint on the boat, linking him to the theft. How expensive are... Just like your, you know, I mean, that's 46 feet. That's a big-ass boat.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so it
has $1 million.
It had some bells and whistles on it. But, yeah boats are, it used to be $1,000 a foot. I'm sure it's gone up since.
Got to be a lot more, yeah. All right. How about this? An artificially intelligent robot named Erica is starring in a $70 million science fiction flick called About a scientist who discovers dangers associated with a program he created to perfect human DNA. Erica, so this robot is acting as an actor. Erica, who goes by her first name only like Cher or Zendaya, because she
will defecate in this cup.
Already knows that she is that robot, will be typecast as a robot. Can a robot act? Yes. Her dad's slash creators, Japanese scientists Hiroshi Ishiguro and Kohei Ogawa, taught her to act, applying the principles of method acting to artificial intelligence. So
oh boy.
They're going to have this robot act. Now, can she move her arms and legs? No. So it's not going to look that great, but she is going to act, I guess, as a torso.
They've got some of those animatronic, super advanced robots that the Japanese have been working on for a while that are just at the point of completely human. I mean, besides the uncanny valley thing that occurs because you know something's not quite right.
Yep.
You know, if you were to walk in and not pay attention, it's pretty chilling.
Wow. All right. And your Bizarre File for today.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.